views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. This is Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational and culture and leadership, helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I'm really, really excited about our guest. It's Shane Metcalf, who is the Chief Culture Officer at 15Five. And he and I are going to be talking about how to unlock the potential of your workforce. So let me introduce Shane. Shane is a seasoned executive coach. And as I mentioned, the Chief Culture Officer at 15Five, which is an industry-leading performance management software company. And Shane is obsessed with building healthy organizations and creating the opportunity for people to have meaningful work and meaningful relationships. Welcome, Shane.
Thanks so much, Claudette. Really good to be with you guys today.
Yeah, great to be with you. Great to be with you. So tell us, I think 15Five, right? That's the place to start. What are you guys doing over there?
Yeah, sure. So 15Five, so we consider ourselves a continuous performance management software. Mm-hmm. And what that does is that if we look at what's kind of the cutting edge and how do we design healthy, thriving cultures? We need to build cultures of continuous feedback where you're having the right cadence of the right conversations, you're asking the right questions, you're setting the right goals, and you're kind of putting in place this organizational scaffolding to make sure that all of these things are actually happening. And so we build software to do that. If we take a step back and really look at what's our deeper why as an organization, we exist to help create the space for people to be their greatest selves. We really think that that's business can play a role in helping each one of its people inside of an organization thrive, not just in their work lives, but in their personal lives as well. We spend so much time at work. And so how can we really make the most of that? And so we build software to make that easy for companies to do.
Oh, wow. I love that. Creating an opportunity for people to be their greatest selves, their best selves at work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Fundamentally, we think that, or we know, I'm not even going to say we think, because there's so much evidence that if you help somebody be a better version of themselves and they associate that with your company, they're going to be more loyal. They're going to, so they're going to stay longer. They're going to have a higher quality of work while they're there. They're going to contribute to the people around them. And it's going to just generate a lot of goodwill. It's going to make, you're going to make more money as a company. You're going to recruit people easier. You're going to. And so, a lot of what we're focused on is building these tools. And so what that looks like is, weekly check-ins, OKR tools, so objectives and key results, one-on-one features, what we call a best self review instead of the annual performance review. We think that there should be a quarterly review that's actually about helping you be a better version of yourself.
Nice. I'm sure many companies would be thrilled to have a best self review versus a performance review, right?
we're counting on it.
Yeah. That it's versus, the performance review, which is, as we all have experienced, often can be kind of demoralizing, right? Depending on how it's done.
There's a reason why dreaded is often associated with performance review.
Right.
Dreaded performance review. And there's a lot of really interesting research that shows almost nobody likes it. Managers don't like it. The HR, teams don't really like it because they're not getting what they want out of it. And often it's really just an excuse to fire or promote people to distribute rewards. And so And there's a lot of unintended consequences of performance reviews, of getting people into more of a fixed mindset. You know, maybe there's some really good feedback in there, but if there's a number, if you're just being reduced to a number and a stack ranking, that's all you're really going to be paying attention to. And so you miss out on some of the juice, some of the goodness of what is happening inside of that performance review, which is things like 360 feedback and, you know, upward feedback and helping you see your blind spots. And so we've really taken an approach where we're partnering with people like University of Michigan and Penn State, and looking at all of the cutting edge social science that's coming out of these universities, and helping and using that to inform how we develop our product so that we can be moving the way that we manage people into the 21st century and getting rid of some of the industrial revolution hangovers of how we've managed humans.
Absolutely. And I'm curious with the best self review, this quarterly review or discussion, I'd love to hear an example of a question or two that gets discussed during a conversation like this. It'd be really interesting.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And so we have a lot of templates of questions, and so it's still customizable because we understand that each business has specific needs.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the questions and themes that we're talking about are strengths development. So are you aware of your strengths? Do you feel like you're able to use them on a regular basis? How much flow are you experiencing in your work? What do you want to be able to do in 6 months that you can't do now? Do you feel like you're really contributing your greatest gifts to the company? Is there something you'd rather be focused on? So it's conversations around that. And then also we go really deep into 360 feedback because again, we all have blind spots. And so figuring out ways to get good at giving and receiving feedback, asking for feedback so that I understand, oh, wow, what are the things that I should, stop doing? Should I continue doing or do more of? What are the things that I'm doing that are having the most positive impact on the organization and on the people around me? And so it's using questions to prompt that level of self-reflection and giving feedback, and then moving into a in-person conversation with your manager so that you can really dig into more of the nuances. And it's not all, we've separated compensation from the process so that, and that's a whole other conversation is, you know, how do you do really good compensation management? If your compensation is tied to this idea of performance management, and not that, you know, bad performers should get raises or anything like that, but that you take some of the sense of, I'm only going to try to make myself look good so that I can make more money, and into the actual conversation of how do we really help this person grow and thrive in our company.
Right. I love that. Absolutely. So speaking of thriving, tell us about the culture at 15.5. How would you describe it?
Yeah, well, it's one of the things that I'm maybe the most proud of. So we're 7 years. We started 15.5 about 7 years ago. I'm one of the co-founders, so I've been there since the beginning. And for most of that time, I was actually running customer success. And so it's actually pretty recent that I've switched into the full-time culture role. But I've always been kind of architecting the culture from the beginning, drawing from my experience as an executive coach of seeing what happens when you have a dysfunctional leadership team and the impact that has throughout the rest of the organization. So one of the things that I've really focused on from the beginning is how do you create an environment of high levels of vulnerable trust? How do we get us, you know, back when we were 4 people or, you know, 10 people, it was a very different equation. But in a way, the principles stay the same. And so I had a lot of, we've always done a lot of things so for us to connect on more human levels. So we play a game called Question Friday, and we still do this to this day. Actually, just this morning, we had everybody in the company hop on a shared Zoom call, and we ask a non-business related question. And so this morning was, what is a way that you feel deeply appreciated, and what are some examples of how that's shown up in the past? So we've been playing this game for 7 years. And so every Friday, we have a half an hour of connecting as human beings, not connecting in our task-oriented roles, not as marketers and salespeople, engineers and product developers, but as human beings sharing stories from our lives and getting vulnerable. And sometimes it's really light and playful, and sometimes it's kind of deep and heavy. And some of the maybe things that we typically don't think as what we would lead with in our professional environment. And it's still, you know, we really respect people's personal boundaries, but it is about making space for the full human being and the many dynamics of what it is to be a human, because it's not always easy. It's not like we don't all have our own personal struggles and insecurities. And when we begin to reveal those to each other, that's when we really are able to build a culture of empathy, compassion, understanding, curiosity. And so those are the kind of some examples of how we've really focused on building our culture of, you know, and we do things like company retreats and quarterly retreats where we get into nature, we go into inspiring environments where we can, you know, because we're also distributed. So we have some headquarters in San Francisco, New York, and Raleigh, but a lot of people that are remote. And so it's getting that face time in person is also so critical. And I think the vast majority of teams today have some level of remote. And so, you know, creating the space for deep psychological safety, allowing vulnerability and human connection is one of the, I think, one of the most powerful things that you can do to build a healthy organization.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I love that example of Question Friday and, you know, what it's like to get to know other people on a human level. And like you said, how that impacts performance and trust and it, you know, just the ability to communicate effectively.
Yeah.
One of the things I was curious, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it also starts with having a clear purpose.
Yes.
Organizations that have, that are purpose-driven have been demonstrated to outperform organizations that don't have a clear purpose. And once you have that purpose, it's really important that you continue to communicate it. You keep it alive through the conversations. You talk about it on a regular basis. You ask people how you think we're doing around that, that purpose. You engage the individuals in wondering and being curious about what their purpose is. And, you know, because we really think that purpose shouldn't be just for entrepreneurs. Purpose should be for, you should be putting in time and effort to help each person in your organization understand what is their purpose? What are they really passionate about? How does that sync up with the companies? And if it doesn't sync up with the companies, well, can you support that person in pursuing their dreams so that it's not just about, I'm committed to you as long as you work for my company, but I'm committed to you for the long run. And I want you to permanently be better off for having worked at my company.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like such an incredible investment in the people, right? When you're focused that way, that you're really seeing the whole person, you're looking at them very, very, very differently than that. Like you said, the more of the industrial age model of looking, you know, of thinking about really not even people, but employees, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very different mindset.
And it pays dividends. It's one of the best investments you can make. And there's a lot of financial, kind of strict financial arguments you can make that it's a good investment.
That's amazing. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'd love to hear more about those statistics. And the other thing I'm curious about too, and I'm sure listeners are as well, is what are some of the forces that are actually causing the shift in approach that you're talking about so beautifully today? So you're listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Demystifying the journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley, and for those of you just joining us, my guest today is Shane Metcalf, who is the Chief Culture Officer at 15Five, which is a performance management software organization. So Shane, we were just talking about how the connection between building vulnerability-based trust, right, and human connection at work, and how that really drives, you were just starting to tell us about how that really drives performance and drive, and sounds like really drives business results, right? And revenue.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, Claudette, over the break, you were kind of talking about, well, so what's the balance between caring for people and having a culture where people are connected and feel psychologically safe and actually getting work done, hitting numbers, the hard metrics, the KPIs of running a business. And so, you know, typically, you know, there's kind of two dominant models that people think of the high performing sports team and the family business. And high performing sports team is, look, we're taking the emotion out of this. We're looking at all the data. If somebody isn't performing, then we're cutting them. Mm-hmm. And on the family model, you have high degrees of empathy. You know, you're not going to fire your cousin because they made a mistake. And so it can kind of fall into this relationships first, and that's what's most important. And so maybe you kind of, glaze over some performance issues, or, you know, there's maybe some politics involved. And what we're really saying is that there's actually a hybrid model, that the idea of caring for people and caring about performance and results isn't as contradictory and paradoxical as people really imagine. That you can deeply care about your people and have high accountability around results and performance. And the intersection of those two things is actually what we call best self-management. Mm-hmm. And best self-management is what we're naming, because there's this kind of trend where there are some of the progressive companies are investing in their people and still have high expectations and will still fire you if you're missing the mark. But it's really about helping that high performance is kind of like the fruits on an apple tree. And so the fruits you can think of as, you know, hitting quota or hitting deadlines on time, contributing to the culture in a positive manner, being aligned with the values of the company. But if you didn't understand root systems and soil health and all of the invisible elements that go into producing those apples on that apple tree, then you're going to be managing just, okay, how can I get the right, how do I water the bark on the tree? How do I prune the tree? But if you're ignoring what's below the ground, what's invisible, then you're going to really fail at producing good apples. Mm-hmm. And so what we think is that by focusing on helping be their best self, you're watering the roots. You're going to the roots of high performance. Mm-hmm. And in that scenario, you still are caring about and investing in your people while holding them accountable for high performance. And so we actually think that when you combine these two, you take the best of both models, of the family model and the high-performing sports team, this is the cutting edge. This is what all companies are, you know, should be thinking about. How can we accomplish this? Because that's when you unlock loyalty and creativity and people actually doing their job because they want to, not because they're being kind of coerced or motivated by fear. They're being motivated by purpose and autonomy.
Yeah, that kind of purpose and commitment. And I was thinking about while you were talking that it's in like, low trust companies, in my experience, at least as a consultant, almost always have low accountability. Not always, but that often goes hand in hand. And so it makes sense that this high trust, right, high psychological safety, caring kind of company would also engage in high performance and accountability, right? And Absolutely. Get the best kind of results. Yeah.
Low trust is going to mean that you're not really getting the truth from your people.
Right.
People aren't going to be sharing the things that they really see. Maybe frontline customers see ways to improve the business process. But if they don't trust their manager and can go out on a limb and say, hey, I've got kind of a crazy idea. What if we did this? If they don't trust their manager, they're going to just be covering their ass. They're going to be doing the minimum to do their job. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to be trying to take credit for things. They're not going to be working as a team. They're not going to be as collaborative. And mm-hmm. so there's extremely high cost to low trust.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've seen, you know, I won't even, of course, go into it, but I've seen so many examples of really just a trail of debris literally being left behind, you know, in low trust environments. So it's pretty significant. And I loved your analogy of the sport, high performing sports team in the family business. And I've been consulting in a company that is interestingly is no longer a family business, but you started out as one. So you see the vestiges of it in terms of, although we've transformed a lot in terms of what you were saying, where relationships come first before everything, before performance, before everything. And it's been interesting to help them shift into more of a psychologically safe and a more accountable, high performing organization. And as we've been doing that, though, they're noticing that problems are just getting solved much more easily, you know, problems that have plagued them for a long time. So it's pretty amazing what happens when you help an organization move in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of the Radical Candor book.
Oh, yeah.
And model, you know, and kind of in the upper left when there's in that model is ruinous empathy, which is
ruinous empathy. Yeah.
You know, you care about people, but you're not willing to confront them about what's actually happening or places that they're screwing up. And then that's when, you know, it just becomes this, oh, I'm not going to actually tell you the truth to your face because I'm afraid of hurting your feelings. And that's really uncomfortable for me. And that just, that's not a good equation. You're not going to unlock the potential of your people. You're not going to really achieve the full potential of your company. Because ultimately our companies are made up of people, which is mm-hmm. why we really say if you focus on and unlocking the potential of your people, you're going to have an amazing company. Your culture is going to thrive. Your revenue is going to thrive. And you yourself as either a business owner or a manager or an employee are going to thrive. And, you know, life is too short to work jobs that suck. I'm just sorry. I think that... The statistics around 70% of the American workforce is disengaged, according to Gallup polls. And that's heartbreaking because I think we've all probably had experiences of being disengaged at work. And it's uncomfortable. It's not like we're like, oh yeah, that's an easy place to be. And so that's why I think that, you know, we're kind of sounding this clarion bell around, hey, we can do better. We can build cultures that whose natural byproduct is engaged and fulfilled employees who are doing the best work of their life.
Yeah, I mean, I love to think about what would it look like if every company had that, right? I mean, we'd really be transforming the whole world. I mean, the power behind that in a positive way is pretty amazing, right?
Yeah. And I think what we're really curious about is, okay, what impact can we have on that in the next 10 years? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not doing it alone, which is why we love partnering with organizations who believe what we believe, because there's just some incredible developments happening in the world of work. And we want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so one of the things that this is a great segue into something else I was really curious to ask you about, which is there, and you've alluded to this, but it'd be great to hear a little bit more about it directly, that there's really a shifting approach to managing people. And as you said, it's not just your company, right? There are other people focused on it as well. And what are some of the forces that are driving that shift? What have you guys been noticing?
Yeah, well, I think that there's a lot of research coming out from neuroscience and from positive psychology, motivational theory, that are pointing the way to understanding if you can have somebody be intrinsically motivated to do their job, that person is going to beat the pants off somebody that's only extrinsically motivated. And so extrinsic motivation would be, I don't really care about this job, but there's money and they're going to, you know, maybe I'll get a bonus or maybe I won't get fired. Those are all extrinsic motivations. Mm-hmm. An intrinsic motivation is this feels aligned with the work that I'm meant to do here in the world. This feels aligned with me becoming a better person. This feels aligned with me actually contributing and helping somebody else in a genuine way. And so if you can align your incentives and your purpose as an organization to tap into the intrinsic motivators of your people, that's when you're going to see a much more functional culture. You're going to see people going above and beyond the minimum that's expected of them. And they're going to feel some ownership of the problems that you face as a company. And so they're going to say, great, well, I can help out here, or here's this idea, or I'm going to just do the best work of my life because I actually care about this. So that's one of the big shifts, I think, is moving from extrinsic to intrinsic motivations. You can also look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and that's a really fascinating model to lay onto your business. And are what you're doing as a company actually hurting some of the lower base needs and making it harder for people to have a sense of belonging and emotional self-esteem? There's so many cool models that we are laying on top of business culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there really, really are. It is actually an incredibly exciting time to be focused on this because there's so much research to support. I think what a lot of folks for a long time intuitively thought was probably true. Now we actually have research, as you were sharing, that really, really supports, you know, this intention and this direction, right, in business development.
And
business
culture. By the way, it's actually better for the financials of the business.
You know, and it's better for the,
at some point we could talk about ELTV or employee lifetime value as one of the measures of why this is so powerful for a company.
That's great. So we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, let's go right into that. This is Claudette Rowley and you're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
High-frequency healing for an amazing life with Source Light Radio. Join host Laura Barton each month on Transformation Talk Radio as she explores Source Light integration, a unique spectrum of energy, light, and frequency. Experience instantaneous healing and amazing shifts in consciousness with Source Light Integrations Radio. For more information on Laura and her work, visit sourcelightintegrations.com.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. My goal is to help you to reach your goal. And this is a tip with purpose. Everybody wants it and nobody has enough of it. But it comes to a point that you have to tell yourself, I can get more. I want more. I deserve more. I'm talking about money. More money, more money, more money. That's what people want. But what has to be done? Your thoughts have to change, that you can allow yourself to tell yourself, I have money and I want more money. How much money? What is it? Put it out there. Write it down. What would you do with more money? How would you feel to have more money? I hope this tip helps you going through the day today. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as we reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit JenniferNoelleTaylor.com.
Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley here with my guest today, Shane Metcalf, the Chief Culture Officer of 15.5. And Shane, before we dive back into talking about this really interesting topic of how having a great culture really pays off, do you want to share with listeners how they can find out more about what you guys are doing?
Yeah, sure. So most business owners are familiar with the idea of CLTV or customer lifetime value. Mm-hmm. And it's basically what your customer pays you over whatever period of time they stay as a customer. But, question for the listeners is, have you really considered your employee lifetime value? Given fixed recruiting costs, the value of one employee versus another, and how they're able to contribute to your organization over time can be dramatically different. And so if you have high turnover, you're getting a terrible return, not to mention that there's negative value that's created in getting a new person ramped up. You can dramatically increase your ELTV by getting people ramped up faster, increasing the value they're able to contribute to your company over time, and ultimately retaining them longer. You know, I just saw a recent statistic that in an average tech company, workers are staying on average 18 months, mm-hmm. so a year and a half, and which is really remarkable because I think it takes about 6 to 8 months for sales reps to be fully ramped. Mm-hmm. And so then you maybe get another 10, 12 months maybe of them contributing. But then they, on the tail end, there's a point when somebody makes the decision of, I think I'm going to leave this company. And that can be months before they actually leave your company. And at that point, contribution goes way down. They're no mm-hmm. longer actually incentivized to have the company succeed. And so when you look at this, it's so expensive to replace people. You know, it's estimates of between 1 and 4 times the annual salary is what it costs to replace one person in your company. Mm-hmm. And so if you have an engineer that you're paying, you know, $120,000 to $200,000 for, and you lose them, that can be anywhere from that $200,000 to $400,000 to replace, and all of the training and the kind of just skill set and knowledge of the company that you're losing. And so by investing in progressive people programs, by investing in helping people be their best selves and growing and continually learning at your company, you're going to be a much more capital efficient company than your competitors on average.
Well, it really sounds, thanks for spelling that out, because it really, it makes so much sense, you know, when you say it that way, right? It's actually really, really logical.
Yeah, I know, right? It's one of these things that it's just like, oh, duh, of course we should want to do what we can to retain our people. You know, there's another interesting dynamic, and I think that this is part of the market shift that's mm-hmm. happening as well, and why it's kind of the time has come for this approach to managing people, is that it used to be that managers were maybe the more valuable part of a company, that the individual contributors were more replaceable. It wasn't as big of a loss if you lost somebody. But now when you look at, you know, that most of a company's value is in their IP, in the code, their code base, and these things that mostly individual contributors are adding to the company, that's when we start to see a switch and kind of a flipping of the org chart, where leaders are in some sense less valuable than the people they're leading. And mm-hmm. which is why leaders should actually be in service of the people below them, versus people below them at the bottom of the org chart being in service to the CEO and the shareholders. And that's actually the most powerful business model that's emerging. And I like it too, because it's kind of flipping the script of saying, hey, we're in service to you, not your, like, we're working for you. You're not working for us.
Exactly. It gives it a whole, it's such an empowering model, isn't it? You know, so instead of this top-down approach as you were describing, it really is, it seems like more of a grassroots, right, empowerment approach where people really do get to bring their best selves.
Absolutely. And, you know, I personally think it's a more meaningful and personally fulfilling way to spend our lives, of actually helping and being of service to the people around us, instead of how can I just take value from them so that I can personally gain. And you know, mm-hmm. the beauty of this model is that the whole company as a whole wins. Everybody wins. It's a win-win approach to business. And it's shifting out of this mindset of human resources. Since when did we decide that humans were just resources? It's like, you know, it's like oil or wood, and anyone's going to burn them up to get the energy out and move the machine forward. And humans are much more akin to potential to be unlocked, to genius, that everybody is a genius. And if you approach that like that, then you become curious, what is this person's genius? And how can I unlock that and have them operate in my company in their zone of genius?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always like, you know, I don't like the phrase human capital. And so if I hear it, I'm like, no, we're human beings. We're not human capital, right? We're not FTEs, right?
Yes.
We're not headcount. Yes. We're people. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of interesting, like in a somewhat paradoxical way, that as technology is increasing and we have all of this automation and the rise of AI, mm-hmm. there's all of this concern of, whoa, well, what is, you know, it's all going to dehumanize business. But I think that the solution is actually rehumanizing business. Mm-hmm. And I think that in many ways, business has never been that human. The kind of baseline economic models has always said, reduce things to the lowest common denominator. Humans are just resources. They're cogs in the machine. They're just on the assembly line. And it's really shifting into this idea that, wow, more right brain creativity is the future of work, that left brain jobs are going to be automated and replaced. And so how can we cultivate the more holistic human being that is going to be able to do something that AI and machines aren't going to be able to do? And that's kind of where I think is going to be a really fascinating future of our economy, is in supporting more holistic human beings.
I agree, absolutely. And I think one of the things that's interesting too, and I'm glad you brought up this connection between technology and humanity, is that I also, in some organizations where this, you know, as we've all seen and heard about, the stress levels have gotten really high. And what I find is that people are not even responding from their left brain or their right brain. They're actually responding from a very emotionally triggered place, which, as we know, like people, we don't make good decisions when we're triggered, right? We don't problem solve well. And so I was curious if you've, you know, if you've been running into that as well, and you know, and it seems like rehumanizing business is one way to help people learn how to take care of themselves emotionally when the stress gets too high.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the models we really like is the triune brain. And mm-hmm. this understanding that we have these, it's almost like Russian dolls in our head.
Yeah.
The lizard brain, the mammalian brain, and the neocortex. Mm-hmm. And you know, lizard brain is responsible, you know, like when we're in fight or flight, for instance, mm-hmm. that's our lizard brain. And it's about survival. And so if you're inadvertently creating a culture of fear, you mm-hmm. are having people be kind of stay in these lower functions of the brain. And you know, lower is a relative term. It's not that they're worse or inferior. They're vitally important to our survival. Mm-hmm. But the brain literally can't access the higher centers of creativity, strategy, and imagination if it's operating from a fight or flight stance. And mm-hmm. so getting good as an organization to, as a whole, can we help people get into the higher functions of their brain, which it means trust versus fear, which again goes back to why it's so important to cultivate cultures of high trust.
Right.
Is because you're not pushing people into their survival mechanisms, into all of these subconscious processes that are designed to identify threat and avoid them and survive. And so once you're creating safety, you're saying, look, not only is your whole self welcome at work, your emotions, your grief, your joy, but also like once that gets unlocked and you're actually saying, we're also going to support you in developing these areas and, you know, take an emotional intelligence workshop, learn how to give and receive feedback, get better at setting goals for your work, but also for your life. It engages these higher functions of the brain. And that's when you can become skilled as an organization of both holding space and not getting completely freaked out if somebody cries at work, but mm-hmm. also helping people, you know, regain their equilibrium faster. And so that they can, and maybe they have an emotional breakdown, but it's safe. There's some degree of safety for that so that they don't have to completely hide it and then feel mm-hmm. ashamed for that and then internalize it and not actually be able to have clearing conversations or hear what people thought about it, or, you know, and then we kind of just start to isolate ourselves and we no longer actually are bringing our whole self to the workplace. And that's when people start to slowly fade out of your company.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's very, very well described and well said, that is the process by which that happens. Thanks for really bringing that to life. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Shane and I are going to talk more about some recommendations. You know, as you've listened today and been intrigued by what you've heard and are thinking about, wow, how could we apply this to our company? We'll get into some of the next steps. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world one listener at a time.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you. Discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion, Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Miss any shows during the week? We've got you covered. Yahoo! With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand. Yes! Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley here with Shane Metcalf from 15.5. And Shane, as we're bringing our really interesting conversation to a close, I know we wanted to share with listeners, first of all, how they can learn more about your work. What's the best way?
Sure. So, you know, the best way is really to visit our website, 15.5.com. That's 15.5.com. We actually just yesterday launched a new science page where we go into all of the cutting edge social science that's wow, behind our product. So that's a really fun one to kind of geek out on, why does this stuff work? What's the research really show? So that's a fun one. And then you can also, we've got a great blog. I think it's 15.5.blog or blog.15.5.com. And so we're always producing a lot of really great content there. And in terms of, you know, how can we apply some of these things? How can we begin to shape our culture to be higher trust, to be more functional? There's a couple of recommendations I have. One is my favorite book right now around all of this is called An Everyone Culture.
I love that book.
Yeah, it's so good. I think it's one of the best places anybody can begin. So An Everyone Culture, Becoming a Deliberately Developmental Organization. And I think that that's going to be just chock full of resources and ideas to get the gears spinning. Mm-hmm. I would also come up with a list of questions that you're asking internally as an organization of what kind of culture do we want to build? Mm-hmm. Where are we stuck? What is our purpose? Are we actually creating culture of psychological safety? Are mm-hmm. we doing things that really are counterproductive to that? And so mm-hmm. using inquiry and self-reflection to get an accurate and intellectually honest perspective of how you're actually doing right now. Mm-hmm. Another great book that I love is Mindset by Carol Dweck.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like, and I don't think she talks about this much, but what's the mindset of your organization? Are you a growth mindset as an organization, or are you a fixed mindset as an organization? As a leader in your company, do you have a fixed mindset about the people you're leading? Mm-hmm. And that's going to really determine if your culture stagnates and or if your culture grows and continues to evolve. You know, something that we do a lot of internally at 15.5 is, you know, okay, so we have our vision and our purpose of creating space for people to be their greatest selves. And then we have our core values, which, you know, hopefully most of your listeners have a good sense of really kick-ass core values that they're operating and running the business from. If you don't, spend time on it. It's really worthwhile. And then from those values, we look at how can we implement these and create rituals as a company to reinforce and live these values? Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to create values, stick them on a plaque on the wall and say, hey, we have values. Those Yay. Aren't values. That can actually backfire if you're not committed to living and striving towards your values. Then people are going to say, wow, this company is a bunch of hypocrites. We have no integrity. We don't say what we say we're going to do. And so it can actually breed cynicism if you're not really committed to your values. And so in terms of rituals, you know, we do the thing like the Question Friday is a good example of a ritual. It's every week. People don't have to think about it. You know, rituals are like brushing your teeth. They're effortless. And so we do a gratitude meditation every Monday morning before we go through the hard numbers of how much money we're making and our top objectives and mm-hmm. how we're trending on those. And Wednesday we do a 5-minute mindfulness meditation with everybody. And I have a different person in the company to lead that every month. So people that have never meditated in their lives are leading the whole company in a meditation. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. It's growing.
Oh, wow. For them.
And so finding ways to have your values come to life.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recommend also doing a company retreat where you're getting people like get out of the city, get out of urban environments, go to nature, find a retreat center, rent an Airbnb somewhere and get out of the ordinary milieu and so that you can be in inspiring places. And that's one of the most effective things we've done, I think, in terms of creating strong bonds between the people in our company. And then it's about finding what are the things unique to you and actually developing those. And, you know, because a good culture is not going to look like any other good culture. There might be some commonalities, but a thriving culture is the expression of your uniqueness and the uniqueness of all the individuals that make up your organization.
It's true, right? Sometimes folks will mistakenly think we should all be Google, right?
Horrible idea.
Right. And they call, every culture, I think every family and every fingerprint, right, are unique. It sounds like you're saying find your essence, right? Find what makes you great as a company.
Yeah. And then really play that up. Double down, obsess over that uniqueness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other thing I hear in all this, although you haven't said it explicitly, is the notion of fun.
Yeah.
This should all have some element of fun to it.
Yeah. I think that, why so serious?
Right.
Not that there aren't serious topics, but can we bring an element of playfulness to them so that we're striving for, we like to think of work-life integration, not work-life mm-hmm. balance. We think work-life balance is kind of a fallacy, but actually building cultures where you aren't miserable so that you have to have a vacation from it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you shouldn't have vacation. I mean, we're a big believer and promoter of time off and of taking time to recharge. But, there's a lot lighter approaches to high productivity and getting results. You don't have to crack the whip and be so heavy about everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear that. Right. Like you said, there are always challenging things that happen and serious topics. But yeah, lightening up, looking at the positive, finding what's really working well, right?
Yep. And it's interesting because we're trained, our neurology is given and kind of conditioned to code for negativity.
Right.
You know, it's a survival mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that through, and this is all this stuff kind of coming out of positive psychology, is that mm-hmm. through simple practices like focusing on the positive and a gratitude journal and these other things, you can actually switch the brain into a quote unquote positive state. Mm-hmm. And when the brain switches from negative to positive, that's when all the learning centers light up. Mm-hmm. That's when we can take in new information and integrate it and digest it and use it. And so it's, you know, building positive organizations is when you also start to build learning organizations mm-hmm. that have a feedback cycle and continually evolve and improve and become a better version of itself, mm-hmm. just as the individuals inside of the company are becoming better versions of themselves.
Yeah, so well said. I mean, and I think it's I love that your combination of something that's really it's aspirational and visionary, and you've really combined it with the practical too, right? That this is also based in science. It's based in statistics and research, that all, you know, you're really bringing both sides of it together.
With a nice little sprinkling of straight up capitalism, because we think this is also a way for everybody to prosper more.
Yes, yes, absolutely. With straight up capitalism, right? We're still going to make money doing all this. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Just in case any of the CFOs out there are concerned about
right. that. Exactly. What is all this stuff? Yeah, yeah. So Shane, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today and really sharing, you know, your wisdom and your knowledge and all of your expertise. I think we all really benefited. Thank you.
My pleasure, Claudette.
Yeah. And I think, and also really just, you know, talking about how to unlock the potential of our workforces, which I know is one of the reasons you and your company exist. So really great to have you on the show. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Cultural Brilliance Radio. As always, we had a great time. Please join us the second and fourth Fridays of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. I also wanted to mention for any listeners who are local to New York City on October 11th in a couple of weeks, I will be speaking at the Conscious Capitalism NYC chapter on creating a conscious culture. So if you're in the NYC area, I'd love to meet you and see you there. Otherwise, thanks so much, everybody, and have a great couple of weeks.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at ClaudetteRowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.